Howard Culver, building with words a stairway to the stars.
Who has known heights shall bear forevermore an incommunicable thing that hurts his heart, as if a wind beat at the portal, challenging. And yet, lured by the gleam his vision wore, who once has trodden stars, seeks peace no more.
A stairway to the stars, a pathway to peaceful reflection, on which one may walk and pause and know again that beauty which those who build with words have indelibly etched in time for all to read, to hear, and to enjoy. From KFI in Los Angeles, we hear music by Ruby Lloyd, words by Howard Culver, builders in the night of a stairway to the stars.
Before he was old enough to know what God meant, he began pestering him. On the first day, he asked God for something, praying, "Dear God, I'll never ask for anything again as long as I live. If only this once..." He was a child then, wanting a bicycle for Christmas. On the second day, he prayed, saying, "Dear God, never again will I ask, but this time, please." He was a student, asking for a passing grade in higher mathematics. On the third day, he prayed the prayer again, but without realizing what he said, because he was thinking of her. "All I'll ever ask of you is her," he begged. So God gave her to him. On the fourth day, he became a father, and God was once more requested to guarantee the results. "Though never again a favor," he promised. But God was a little skeptical by now. On the fifth day, it was at a business conference when he felt another moment of inadequacy, and he called upon God to carry him through the crisis. "Is this the last time?" asked God. "Oh, yes," was the answer. "Very well," said God, and performed another miracle. On the sixth day, he was an old man, very old and senile. But he still clung to life and was afraid of death, and he began, "Dear God, I'll never ask for anything again as long as I live." "That's true," said God. And he died. And on the seventh day, God rested. Up from the meadows rich with corn, clear in the cool September morn, the clustered spires of Frederick stand, green-walled, by the hills of Maryland. Round about them orchards sweep, apple and peach tree, fruited deep, fair as the garden of the Lord to the eyes of the famished rebel horde, on that pleasant morn of the early fall when Lee marched over the mountain wall. Over the mountains, winding down, horse and foot, into Fredericktown. 40 flags with their silver stars, 40 flags with their crimson bars flapped in the morning wind. The sun of noon looked down and saw not one. Up rose old Barbara Fritchie then, bowed with her 80 years and 10. Bravest of all in Fredericktown, she took up the flag the men hauled down. In her attic window, the staff she set to show that one heart was loyal yet. Up the street came the rebel tread, Stonewall Jackson riding ahead. Under his slouched hat, left and right he glanced. The old flag met his sight.
Halt!
Dust brown ranks stood fast.
Fire!
Out blazed the rifle blast. It shivered the window pane and sash. It rent the banner with seam and gash. Quick as it fell from the broken staff, Dame Barbara snatched the silken scarf. She leaned far out on the windowsill and shook it forth with a royal will. Shoot if you must this old gray head, but spare your country's flag, she said. A shade of sadness, a blush of shame over the face of the leader came. The nobler nature within him stirred to life at that woman's deed and word. Who touches a hair of yon gray head dies like a dog. March on, he said. All day long through Frederick Street sounded the tread of marching feet. All day long that free flag tossed over the heads of the rebel host. Ever its torn folds rose and fell on the loyal winds that loved it well. And through the hill gaps, sunset light shone over it with a warm good night. Barbara Fritchie's work is o'er, and the rebel rides on his raids no more. Honor to her, and let a tear fall for her sake on Stonewall's bier. Over Barbara Fritchie's grave, flag of freedom and union, wave. Peace and order and beauty draw around thy symbol of light and law. And ever the stars above look down on thy stars below in Fredericktown.
Thank you.
The little toy dog is covered with dust, but sturdy and staunch he stands. And the little toy soldier is red with rust, and his musket molds in his hands. Time was when the little toy dog was new and the soldier was passing fair. And that was the time when our little boy Blue kissed them and put them there. "Now don't you go till I come," he said, "and don't you make any noise." So, toddling off to his trundle bed, he dreamt of the pretty toys. And as he was dreaming, an angel song awakened our little boy Blue. Oh, the years are many and the years are long, but the little toy friends are true. Aye, faithful to little boy Blue they stand, each in the same old place, awaiting the touch of a little hand, the smile of a little face. And they wonder, as waiting the long years through in the dust of that little chair, what has become of our little boy Blue since he kissed them and put them there.
Howard Culver, assisted by Ruby Lloyd at the organ, is building with words A Stairway to the Stars. We appreciate the many cards and letters which have come to this program, and we are sorry that at present we are unable to send out reprints of material read by Mr. Culver. Now we continue with A Stairway to the Stars.
December 24th. 1848. Dear Johnston, your request for $80, I do not think it best to comply with now. At the various times when I have helped you a little, you have said to me, "We can get along very well now." But in a very short time, I find you in the same difficulty again. Now, this can only happen by some defect in your conduct. What that defect is, I think I know. You are not lazy, and still you are an idler. I doubt whether, since I saw you, you have done a good whole day's work in any one day. You do not work much, merely because it does not seem to you that you could get much for it. This habit of uselessly wasting time is the whole difficulty. It is vastly important to you, and still more so to your children, because they have longer to live, and can keep out of an idle habit before they are in it, easier than they can get out after they are in. You are now in need of some ready money, and what I propose is that you shall go to work, tooth and nail, for somebody who will give you money for it. Let father and your boys take charge of your things at home, prepare for a crop and make the crop, and you go to work for the best money wages, or in discharge of any debt you owe, that you can get. And to secure you a fair reward for your labor, either in money or your indebtedness, I will then give you one other dollar. By this, if you hire yourself at $10 a month, from me you will get 10 more, making $20 a month for your work. In this, I do not mean you shall go off to St. Louis or the lead mines or the gold mines in California, but I mean for you to go at it for the best wages you can get close to home in Coles County. Now, if you will do this, you will soon be out of debt, and, what is better, you will have a habit that will keep you from getting in debt again. But if I should now clear you out, next year you will be in just as deep as ever. You say you would almost give your place in heaven for $70 or $80. Then you value your place in heaven very cheaply, for I am sure you can, with the offer I make you, get the $70 or $80 for 4 or 5 months' work. You say if I furnish you the money, you will deed me the land, and if you don't pay the money back, you will deliver possession. Nonsense. If you can't now live with the land, how will you then live without it? You have always been kind to me, and I do not now mean to be unkind to you. On the contrary, if you will but follow my advice, you will find it worth more than 8 times $80 to you. Affectionately, your brother, A. Lincoln. Abu Ben Adam, may his tribe increase, awoke one night from a deep dream of peace and saw within the moonlight in his room, making it rich and like a lily in bloom, an angel writing in a book of gold. Exceeding peace had made Ben Adam bold, and to the presence in the room he said, "What writest thou?" The vision raised its head, and with a look made of all sweet accord, answered, "The names of those who love the Lord."
"And is mine one?" said Abu.
"Nay, not so," replied the angel. Abu spoke more low, but cheerily still, and said, "I pray thee then, write me as one that loves his fellow men." The angel wrote and vanished. The next night it came again with a great awakening light and showed the names whom love of God had blessed. And lo, Ben Adam's name led all the rest.
Lord God of trajectory and blast, whose terrible sword has laid open the serpent so it withers in the sun for the just to see, sheathe now the swift avenging blade with the names of nations writ on it, and assist in the preparations of the plowshare. Lord God of fresh bread and tranquil mornings, who walks in the circuit of heaven among the worthy, deliver notice to the fallen young men that tokens of orange juice and a whole egg appear now before the hungry children, that night again falls cooling on the earth as quietly as when it leaves your hand, that freedom has withstood the tyrant like a Malta in a hostile sea, and that the soul of man is surely a Sevastopol which goes down hard and leaps from ruin quickly. Lord God of the topcoat and the living wage, who has furred the fox against the time of winter and stored provender of bees in summer's brightest places, do bring sweet influences to bear upon the assembly line. Accept the smoke of the mill town among the accredited clouds of the sky. Fend from the wind with a house and a hedge him whom you made in your image, and permit him to pick of the tree and the flock that he may eat today without fear of tomorrow, and clothe himself with dignity in December. Lord God of test tube and blueprint, who jointed molecules of dust and shook them till their name was Adam, who taught worms and stars how they could live together, appear now among the parliaments of conquerors and give instructions to their schemes. Measure out new liberties so none shall suffer for his father's color or the credo of his choice. Post proofs that brotherhood is not so wild a dream as those who profit by postponing it pretend. Sit at the treaty table and convoy the hopes of little peoples through expected straits. And press into the final seal a sign that peace will come for longer than posterities can see ahead, that man unto his fellow man shall be a friend forever.
A Stairway to the Stars, a pathway to peaceful reflection, along which we have walked together and enjoyed the beauty which those who build with words have etched in time for all to know. The steps used by Howard Culver in building tonight's Stairway to the Stars were 7 Days by an unknown author, Barbara Fritchie by John Greenleaf Whittier, Eugene Field's Little Boy Blue, A Letter to His Stepbrother by Abraham Lincoln, Abu Ben Adam by Lee Hunt, and The Closing Prayer from On a Note of Triumph by Norman Corwin from the book Untitled. Between readings, Ruby Lloyd played a Chopin prelude, Extase, Little Boy Blue, When the Autumn Leaves Begin to Fall, Oriental, and Recessional.
Who has known heights shall bear forevermore an incommunicable thing that hurts his heart, as if a wing beat at the portal, challenging. And yet, lured by the gleam his vision wore, who once has trodden stars seeks peace no more.
From KFI in Los Angeles, we have presented music by Ruby Lloyd, words by Howard Culver, Builders in the Night of a Stairway to the Stars. Selection of material and production of the program were by Patrick Kelly. Your written comments will be appreciated. Until next Saturday at 9, this is Raleigh Thomas saying thank you and good night from A Stairway to the Stars.